Good morning. All right, if you'll find a place to be able to sit. If you are a guest with us, thank you for being here this morning. We are so glad that you have chosen to come and worship with us this morning. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or leave it at the information table out in the foyer, that would be great. Hopefully you also received the bulletin, and hopefully all the rest of you received the bulletin. So let's take it out and let's take a look at what's going on here. So this morning, as you can see, we have our morning worship service. Tomorrow at the Crawford's house, you'll see some information there about a get-together, and everybody is welcome to be able to come. If you're going to go, please make sure that you let Diane know. If you let Brian know, it won't make any difference. So let Diane know that you are going to be there. And Diane, maybe give a wave so that people know who you are and where you are. And so it sounds like it's going to be a great time, and you are invited to be able to do that. Also, next Sunday is church family dinner. Yes! Right? Okay. And there's no theme this month. So if you want to bring chicken, even though that was last month's theme, that's okay. You can do that. All right? But no theme. Bring a main dish and a side salad or dessert. Come and be prepared to just stay for dinner and to be able to have some really good fellowship. So we are just so thankful for that. I just want to give you a little bit of an update about a prayer request that we've had in the bulletin for a little while now. I had an opportunity to visit with June this past week, and she is doing great. She is out of the hospital. She's at home. She feels strong. The medicine is working to be able to heal the ulcer. So we've been praying for that, and so that's a real answer to prayer. She still is not ready to do a whole lot and get out and do a whole lot. And so please limit your phone calls. The best thing to be able to do to communicate would be to send her a card, just to let her know that you're thinking about her and praying for her. That will go a long way in being able to help her continue to get stronger. But she says, Pastor, Jesus healed me. Isn't that good? And I said, well, that's what we've been praying for. And so God answers our prayers, doesn't he? And so we're just so grateful for that. And I know many of you have been asking about June, so hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of update about what's going on. Well, are you happy to be here this morning? Yeah, three of you are. Are you happy to be here this morning? All right, that's a little bit better. All right, let's lift our voices in praise and song and worship to the Lord.
Amen. Would you stand with me for these first two songs? We're going to sing My Country, Tis of Thee, and the Star-Spangled Banner. When we sing the first verse, because we will sing all three of the Star-Spangled Banner, I would encourage you to worship God and salute if you feel that you want to salute. Cross your heart if you want to cross your heart. What I'm more interested today, in this moment, is that we came here understanding that God is the blesser. God is the one who has given us the blessing that we have of our country. God is the one who has given us the blessing of all that we have to give to each other. God is the one who blesses us. So when we sing these songs, it is not a flag that got you where you are today. It is not another man who got you where you are today. It is God who got you where you are. So let's sing with that intention in mind. Amen. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country, land of As we continue forward. God is good. God is the one who made this great space that we live in.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for
so thankful for the way that you have blessed each one of us just by the fact that we live where we live. Lord, you've given us so much of a future to look forward to, not just in this world, but in the next. And so, God, we thank you for offering to us more than we deserve, for offering to us hope and freedom and a future with you in eternity. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for that. We sing these songs about how you've blessed us here, but Lord, now from our hearts we sing, how great thou art. Amen.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider
I shall bow.
going to take this morning's offering, and we have one last song for it before the sermon. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching.
Ready to march? Yeah, some of you. God is marching on. Are we ready to go with him? Are we ready to follow him? Notice that hymn reminds us that it's not the government that marches on. It's not society and culture that marches on. It's not politicians or the news media that marches on. It's who that marches on? God. And it's what that marches on? His word. His word has been marching on for century after century, and it's going to continue. The Bible tells us that God's word endures forever. So even when we're in eternity, God's word is still going to be a presence in our lives. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good to know? Sometimes I think we think, well, God's word is only for Sunday. The rest of the week doesn't matter. God's word is only for me as I live my life on this side of heaven. But when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter. No, it's going to matter even more because God's word endures forever. Isn't that good? I just threw that in for free this morning. I'm not even going to charge you for that, okay? All right? So turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. And I know you're thinking, wait a minute, we're still in Exodus chapter 20. This is 4th of July weekend, Pastor. Just hold on. I understand. Okay, we'll kind of fit it in a little bit. But I want to start with a simple survey. Raise your hand if you've ever lied. All right, you can put them down. I thank you for your honesty. And those of you that didn't raise your hand, I'm thankful for your dishonesty. It's kind of neat. You should have been up here where I am, because people were going, is anybody looking? Psalm 116, verse 11 says this, all mankind are liars. That comes from God's word. God knows what we're all about. God knows what it is that we struggle with. A recent study found that 60% of people lied at least once during a 10-minute conversation. Now, hopefully that didn't happen this morning before the service started. Okay? And told an average of 2 to 3 lies. The study also found lies told by men and women differ in content, but not in quantity. Women were more likely to lie to make the person they were talking to feel good, while men lied most often to make themselves look better. There was a man who saw a sign in front of a house which said, "Talking dog for sale." He rang the doorbell and the owner told him he could go see the dog in the backyard. The guy went around the house and asked the dog, "Can you really talk?" "Yep," the dog replied. The man responded, "So what's your story?" The dog looked up and said, "Well, I discovered my gift of talking pretty young, so I told the CIA. And in no time, they had me sitting in rooms of world leaders because no one figured a dog would be eavesdropping. The travel really tired me out, so I signed up for a job at the airport to do some undercover security work, and now I'm just enjoying retirement." The guy was really impressed. So he asked the owner how much he wanted for the dog. The owner said, $10. The guy asked, "Are you serious? This dog is amazing. Why are you selling him so cheaply?" The owner replied, "He's nothing but a big liar. He didn't do any of that stuff. You can't believe a word he says." Now, we might find that to be a little bit funny, but what about the words you say? Can people believe them? You see, because God is truth, and didn't we just sing a hymn about that? God's truth, our God, is marching on. Because God is truth, guess what? We must tell the truth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, hopefully you've picked up on the fact that the sixth instruction given to the Israelites protects a person's life. The seventh protects people's marriage. The eighth protects personal property. And the ninth, which is this one, protects the reputation of others. God wants us to be about the truth. God wants us to be about the truth because He is truth. Everything God says and does is true because He Himself is truth. Everything God says and does is true because He Himself is truth. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16, He is called the God of truth. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." Numbers 23 verse 19 declares, "God is not a man that He should lie." In Psalm 51, verse 6, David tells us what God delights in. "Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being." God wants us to be about the truth because He is truth. Everything God says and does is true because He Himself is truth. Now, there are some ways that this instruction, do not bear false witness, and especially against your neighbor, do not bear false witness. There are some ways that this instruction is not followed. Let's look at some of those ways this morning. First, by false accusations. This instruction involves more than just not lying. God does not want anyone to be a false witness. Now, the witness is to testify or to give an answer. So this could be translated, "You will not answer as a lying witness." Or more literally, "You shall not be a lying witness against your neighbor." So if somebody asks you a question and you tell them in response a lie, you are bearing false witness. I don't know if you remember back in Genesis, but remember there was an incident in the life of Abram and Sarai, where Abram and Sarai, because there was famine in the land of Canaan, the land that God had brought Abram and Sarai to, remember, God came and said to Abram, I want you to leave the Ur of Chaldees, and I want you to move to a land, and you just keep moving, and then when you get to where I want you to be, I will tell you. And so we read what? Abram obeyed God, and he believed God. And God counted it for his righteousness that he believed God. And so Abram did what God asked him to do. Brought him to the land of Canaan. He wasn't in the land of Canaan very long before there was famine. So Abram made the decision to go to Egypt, to be able to be in a place to where there was food. So Abram goes to Egypt along with Sarai and all of the people that was under Abram's care, and all of his herds and all of his flocks and everything that Abram had, he took with him to Egypt. As they're getting close to entering into Egypt, Abram says to Sarai, you know, you're a really good-looking woman, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen. So you just tell the governmental officials when they see you and they come to get you that you're not my wife, you're my sister. Remember that? And so that was only part true, because Sarai was Abram's half-sister. She was Abram's sister by another mother, but not the same mother as Abram. Remember that? And so they go into Egypt, and the governmental officials, they see Sarai, and they see how beautiful she is, and they go to Pharaoh, and they go, whoa, you need this woman. What a great queen she would be because of her beauty. You need this woman. So he instructs for the governmental officials to go and take her away from Abram. And then God sends all of these plagues upon Pharaoh because he took another man's wife, not another man's sister. Now, things didn't go well for Abram after that. Pharaoh sent him out of, and all of that he had brought into Egypt with him, out of Egypt very quickly. The thing that did happen to Abram in the meantime was he was sent out of Egypt with more wealth. Okay. But did Abram lie? He told a half-truth. Is a half-truth a lie, or is it a lie? Well, some of you are still processing that, right? I don't know why. Okay? You see, as human beings, we're the ones who put sin in classifications. God doesn't. Sin is sin. Lying is lying. If we, in any way, shape, or form, only divulge part of the truth, we are still not being truthful. Do you get it? Do you understand that? We're not being honest. A lie is a lie. False witnesses are a threat to proper justice being served. They can harm someone who is innocent, and they can disrupt the life of the community, even the community within the church. What does it say? Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, the indicator of neighbor has a broad definition, and it can mean friend, adversary, associate, companion, fellow citizen, or fellow church family member. That kind of seals the deal, doesn't it? We're not to be dishonest to anybody. We're not to lie to anybody. And a neighbor, really, to bring it right down for us to understand, a neighbor is anyone you have dealings with. Another way that this instruction is not followed is by lying. Our speech is a measure of our love for God and for people. If we're not honest with people, we really don't care. If we're not honest with people, we really don't love people. And if we're dishonest in our words and in our actions and in our attitudes, we really don't love God. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 19 and 22 says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." You know something about a lie? It never travels alone. Because when you don't tell the truth, you end up creating a false reality. Another way this instruction is not followed is gossip. Now remember this rule about gossip. The more interesting it is, the more likely it is to be false. The more interesting it is, the more likely it is to be false. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, "A gossip separates close friends." I need to know that my name is safe when I'm not around. And if you're not around, you need to know that your name is safe with me. Also keep this in mind. Those who gossip to you will also gossip about you. Another way that this isn't followed is slander. And slander is making a false statement designed to harm someone relationally, emotionally, or spiritually. Then there's deception. Sir Walter Scott said, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to what? Deceive." Deception is the action of misleading another through false statements or fraudulent actions. There is a lot of phone and online deception today, with spoofers, spammers, and scammers acting to deceive. Several times this week on the news, our local news, it has been reported that there is an abundance of scammers and spoofers out there searching for people's information. The FBI received a record number of complaints about cybercrime last year, costing Americans, and especially the elderly, $4.2 billion in losses. We need to be very, very careful. There are people out there that will tell you what they want you to think is the truth, but they're not telling you the truth. They're telling you that, you know, the other day I was checking my email, and I had this email, and it said, "You are the winner of a Weber brand new grill." And it was like, whoa, that's cool. I would like a brand new grill. I mean, I'm happy with my grill. It's not new, but it's functional and it does the job. In fact, I grilled steak on it last night, and it was really, really good. But a brand new Weber grill, wow. You know what I did? I deleted it, exactly. Because I believe if somebody's going to give me a brand new Weber grill, they can call me on the phone, right? And I can go to the store and I can verify, right? But if somebody sends it to me in an email, delete, delete, delete. You get phone calls saying, "If you give us this information," or you go to Walmart and you buy gift cards and you send us so much money in gift cards, boy, we've got even more money that we're willing to give to you just because you do this for us. If somebody calls you and makes it sound like they're related to you and they're in a jail in Mexico, you better call your relatives to verify the fact that that loved one was in Mexico. And do they know that maybe that person is in jail? It's a scam. It's fraudulent. It is a lie. Don't give in to lies. Don't be telling lies, and then don't give in to lies. Verify the information that is being communicated. Don't give out personal information. You got that? Don't give out. There are people who are calling up and saying they're from the IRS and you owe the IRS X amount of dollars. And if you don't pay, the IRS is going to come and they're going to have you put in jail. Now, from what I understand, The IRS will not call you to tell you that. They will send you proper correspondence to be able to tell you that. Is that true, Andy? Okay. All right. Great. Okay. We have a person who works for the IRS who's part of our church family. So you know what? Call Andy. Right? Verify it with him. So then, if all of this is true, then how are we to live a life in truth? Let me give you some ways this morning. First, tell what's true. Tell what's true. God's word is clear about the importance of telling the truth and not being about deception. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Anyone that you have dealings with. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your church family, people in the community. For we are members one of another. So how do we apply this to our lives? Well, a long time ago, this is not original with me, but a long time ago, I came across this acronym THINK. T, is it true? Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm being told true? H, is it helpful? You see, when you tell a lie, are you really helping a situation or are you making the situation worse? Most cases, you're making the situation what? Worse. And you know what? When you tell a lie, then you have to remember the lie that you told in case you get challenged on the lie. And then you probably have to tell another lie. And then you probably have to tell another lie. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. It just keeps accumulating, right? It just keeps getting bigger. And before long, you can't remember what the original lie was. And then you get caught, and that's not a good thing. So is it helpful? Is it inspiring? In other words, does it help someone to be able to live their lives in truth instead of feeling like they have to lie? You know, it's said the first liar doesn't have a chance, right? Because everybody can say a different lie that's even bigger and greater than the original lie. Is it necessary? Is it really necessary to lie? Let me ask you this question. Is it ever necessary to lie? Some of you are still thinking about that, right? Is it ever necessary to lie? According to God's word, no. We are to be what? About the truth. We are to put away falsehood. We are to speak the truth with those that we have dealings with. And then is it kind? Think. Think before you speak. Think before you tell a lie. Think before you do something that is dishonest. And this reminds me of a saying that was popular when I was younger. Engage brain before putting mouth in motion. Is the things that are going to come out of my mouth, is it going to be truthful or is it going to be a lie? Is God going to be pleased with what it is that comes out of my life, out of my mouth? Or is it going to go against the truth of his word? Tell what's true so that you can live a life in truth. I don't think we need to belabor that point much longer, do you? The second thing we need to do to live a life in truth is to teach what's true. And we can do that in a couple different ways. We can do that from God's word. God's word is truth. Genesis to Revelation, God's word is truth. God's word is truth. Teach God's word. Now, in order for you to teach and to live God's word, you have to what? Know God's word. And let me just remind you that here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we have written resources. We have a whole library full of written resources. We have people resources. I have my own personal library, and I'm willing to share books out of my personal library to help you know so that you can live and teach God's truth. We have these resources. We have people resources to help you know the truth of God's word. If you have a question, there are people in our church that you can go to be able to ask those questions, to be able to gain that information. We have elders, Robert and I. We're here as a resource to be able to help you know God's truth. We have a leadership team. We have deacons. And our deacons are knowledgeable in God's truth. If you have questions, you can go to them and ask them questions about God's word, and they will teach you God's truth. We have people who aren't on our leadership team that can do that. We have two Brians in our congregation. We have left Brian and we have right Brian. Only because one is left-handed and the other one's right-handed. So now I know what you're thinking. Which one is which? You go find out. Okay? They're both knowledgeable in God's word. We have people resources here in our church. If you have a question about God's word, come and ask us, and we will tell you the truth of God's word. We won't tell you what we think it means. We won't tell you what we think other people say that it means. We will tell you the truth of what God's word has to say. Those are some valuable resources, don't you think? So we need to tell what's true. We need to teach what's true. Not only do we need to teach what's true from God's word, we need to teach what's true from America's history. Because in our culture today, in our society today, in our country today, in our media today, in our governmental systems today, we're not being taught the truth of history. We need to teach that the signers of our own Declaration of Independence declared their firm reliance on the protection and providence of God. Not their intellect, not their wealth. Were they perfect men? No. But did God use them to be able to bring about a nation that he would bless called the United States of America? Yes, he did. We need to teach that our patriots said it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to teach that engraved above the entrance to the Supreme Court and on all of our currency are the words, "In God we trust." In the government we trust, in the media we trust, in the ideologies and the philosophies of this, of our culture. No, in God we trust. And how do we know that we can trust God? Because the truth of his word tells us over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all of thy might. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's in God that we trust. It's in God that is marching on. It is in the truths of God's word that have been marching on for centuries and will continue to march on into and throughout eternity. We need to teach that our nation's founders stood strong in God's truth and relied completely on him for everything. We need to teach that the early citizens of America stood true to the cause of freedom, even at great risk to themselves. And we need to teach that there have been men and women through the founding of our nation up until the present time that have given their time, given their treasure, given their talent, and in some ways, even some have given their lives to protect what it is that God has blessed and preserved this nation to be able to be. We need to teach the truth. We need to teach the truth from God's word. We need to teach the truth about our nation's history. And then we need to trust what's true. In a culture where truth is hard to find, there is truth that can be trusted. And it's not in words. It's not in a creed. It's not in a declaration. It's not in a constitution. It's not in man's opinion. It's not in religious instruction. It is in a person. And the truth that can be trusted is found in Jesus. Jesus declares, I am the way, the what class? What? I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. Someone may come to you. You may be watching a program on TV, and a preacher might be talking. You might be listening to the radio, and a preacher might be talking. You might pick up some resource that was written by some spiritual leader. And if he says anything other than, in order to have salvation from eternal life, you need to believe in Jesus as Savior, that teacher is not telling you the truth. Whether he's proclaiming it with his voice or whether he's proclaiming it with his pen. We need to know that truth comes because Jesus is truth. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from that which isn't truth. Free from that which is apart from God's word. There are spiritual leaders who do not teach the truth of God's word. Oh, they may sprinkle in just enough to make it sound true. They may write just enough to be able to make it true. Yesterday at men's breakfast, we had this discussion about this popular devotional book that's been out for quite some time. And it's not based upon the truth of God's word. It's based upon this person who's become a spiritual leader. It's based upon her devotional thoughts about what she thinks truth is. It's not something to be used to get a knowledge of the truth of God's word. Now, is there some nice things in there? Yeah, probably. Is it truth? By and large, no. That's why we need to know God's word, so that when that which isn't true is presented to us, immediately we can know the difference between the truth that God's word teaches and the truth, or lack thereof, that's being presented to us. Jesus also said in a prayer to God, your word is truth. This and this alone is where we find God's truth. Let me say that again. This and this alone is where we find God's truth. It's not in my opinion. It's not in my intelligence. It's not in my knowledge. It's in God's word. And I hope you understand that when you come to this place, and you sit in on a Bible study, or you sit in on a sermon, or you sit in even on conversations with other people around tables like at family dinners or other activities, that here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we're about the truth that comes from God's word. And I don't apologize for that. And I hope neither do you. Maybe some of you this morning have been living a life that hasn't been truthful. Some of you have given in to a life filled with deception. I don't know that. But if the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, there's some areas of your life that it's not really true. Maybe some of us need new attitudes filled with truth and new actions filled with truth. Because you see, as believers in Jesus as Savior, we are to be people of the truth. We are to honor and tell the truth, defend the truth, and discern that which is the truth. We are to love and to obey the Word of God, knowing that it is truth without error. We are to stand for the truth, no matter what. We are to uphold the truth, even if the whole world disbelieves, hates, and subverts the truth. We are to be the people who live lives of truth for one reason. God is truth. So what have we learned this morning? Well, hopefully we've learned this morning to just tell the truth. It will strengthen your relationship with God and with others. It will honor God. And it may bring God's blessing your way. Father, we thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. Father, help us to be able to trust what is true. And Jesus said, He is the truth. Help us to teach what is true from your word and even about the blessings that you have bestowed upon this country, even from its very beginning. And Father, help us to be able to tell what's true. Father, before we speak, before we act, Father, may we think, are we going to be dishonest? Are we going to be about lying? Or are we going to be about the truth? Father, help us to be people of truth, because you are truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. you.